Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace, and if you think you can hear my teeth chattering, you probably can. I'm absolutely freezing. A goddamn boiler has broken down at home. Can you honestly believe it? Seriously, just as soon as it starts to get cold, I mean, it hasn't actually been cold in ages, has it? And as soon as it starts to get like properly cold with snow and everything, the boiler breaks, literally about 3 days out of its 5-year guarantee. And oh man, how hard is it to get plumbers? I wish I'd persuaded my teenage boys to go into that profession, I can tell you. Anyway, my teeth are chattering. I'm absolutely freezing as I record this. But we had the most amazing family constellations day. Some of you have heard me talking about it for weeks. So I just do a little debrief as to how it was. It was just such an amazing day. As I've said before, it's very difficult to explain this work devised by Bert Hellinger, a German psychotherapist, who realized that working with ancestral healing can enable us to kind of notice what's going on in family systems, in our environment, in our history. And we do know a lot more about this now than we used to because of the whole field of epigenetics, of course. It's sometimes been described as homeopathy for the soul. And it was certainly a very pivotal part of my life when I did family constellations work, and I did my own issue, as it's called, around my relationship with my mother. Gosh, must have been 6-7 years ago now. And I talk about it a lot, and I just found that I've been recommending it to clients for so many years, one-to-one. When I chat to people, I just find myself saying, oh, wow, it would be so great for you to experience family constellations. So that's why I trained. And then last weekend, I did my first event with Ralph Noen, who is extremely knowledgeable and experienced and has been doing this work for 20 odd years. So it was an amazing day, just absolutely amazing. Very difficult to describe, as I say, but if it is something you're interested in, have a look at the Goop series, Gwyneth Paltrow series on Netflix. Episode 5, they show a constellation. It's really interesting. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. Of course, it's always different. It's different every time. But it was a brilliant day, and we just got some wonderful feedback. I'll just read you one quick testimonial. Somebody said here the next day, I'm feeling much more than I can put into words. Freedom, strength, and empowerment. Yesterday's family constellations with Janie and Rafe was emotional and powerful, such a kind, supportive and inclusive group of people. I also felt humbled and privileged to be part of other people's very personal journeys and experiences. Isn't that lovely? So anyways, come with an open mind if you're interested. We do have another one booked for January the 23rd, Sunday, January the 23rd. Going to do it at the same venue in Hertfordshire, just off of Junction 20 on the M25. So if you can make it, have a look at thesoberclub.com, click on events. And I think the tickets are open already. Obviously, spaces will be limited, but it'd be amazing to see you there. If you're even a little bit curious about this work, then do come along. What else has been going on this week? Gosh, the week has gone past really quickly. I was delighted to see that my TEDx talk, Sobriety Rocks, Who Knew, had gone past 100,000 views. Just really chuffed. It was really the thing that kind of kickstarted everything else. It was 2019, July 2019, when I started when I did the TEDx talk. And I remember it when I applied. I was absolutely in about the last 20 minutes, and somebody just sent me a link and said, oh, they're looking for TEDx speakers. And I hadn't really even thought about it before, but I'll knock something off. And as is so often the way, when things are meant to be, they kind of work, don't they? Couldn't believe it when I got through. Anyways, there you go. It was great to see that there's still getting loads of views. So if you haven't watched it, have a look. It's really short. It's kind of 12 minutes or something. So it's a real short watch and hopefully quite fun. It's called Sobriety Rocks Who Knew. So if you just go to YouTube, and put Janie Lee Grace TEDx talk, then that will pop up. And can you give it one of those little thumbs up for me? That would be really cool. I'd really appreciate that. So thank you so much to everyone who has watched that and supported me. And I've had lots of people who watched that and then joined the Sober Club or started listening to the podcast or just got in touch, because so much has happened since then, really. That's, you know, as a result of that TEDx talk, that's why I started the Sober Club, of course, and why I wrote the book, Happy, Healthy, Sober, and everything else, really. Speaking of which, Happy, Healthy, Sober is going to be coming out on audiobook, and I'm told it's soon. I'm hoping it's before Christmas, so I'll keep you posted on that. Come and as we talk about Christmas, I know there's lots of people kind of get concerned when it gets near to Christmas. So we're going to be doing a few sessions in the Sober Club and elsewhere around Christmas on the soberclub.com, just on the front bit that anyone can access. There's a blog post called Bossing Your Christmas Sober. There's some tips there and some tools and some techniques and a recipe for great alcohol-free mulled wine, because honestly, you can't get better than that on a cold night. It's the only thing I've got warming me up right now. So alcohol-free mulled wine is a super easy one. I'm going to be doing a festive mocktail making webinar on Monday the 6th with Natural Health Practice, Marilyn Glenville's business. And I'm doing it with Helen Ford, a nutritionist. So we'll be doing all sorts of unusual sort of festive cocktails without the alcohol, of course. So I'm looking forward to that. And as I say, recipes on thesoberclub.com for my great mulled wine, alcohol-free mulled wine. But you can have kombucha warmed up as well. That's actually really quite nice. So you can tell I'm cold. All I'm talking about is warm drinks. Anyways, without further ado, then, let me tell you about this week's guest. Some of you know, most of you know that I run the Sober Club, of course, and it is a non-judgmental platform, and it's absolutely amazing for people, whether they're sober curious on day one or they've been sober for years and years and years. And as a result of running the Sober Club, I started to realize that there were some people who were members and or they knew people who worked themselves as coaches and therapists and practitioners who wanted to add sober coaching to their toolbox. And wow, it's, you know, so needed, of course, isn't it? Because, you know, it's all very well going to see a therapist, as I used to do in the old days, and kind of feel confident enough to say, oh, I'm worried about my drinking, but you need to get the right answer back. So, you know, even if as a therapist, you don't necessarily do that work yourself, it's super important to be able to signpost on. So anyways, to that end, I have created a course, a program to train people to be accredited Sober Club coaches, to work as a sober coach, and just on the first beta program. And I'll be running another one in early 2022. So if that's something that's of interest to you, drop me a message or, you know, find me on social media or get in touch somehow, because I'd, you know, love to chat to you if you think that's something that would work for you. Obviously, it's important for you to be solid in your sobriety if you want to do that work. But no previous experience is really necessary. We can have a conversation if that's something that's of interest to you. But anyways, one of the lovely gals who worked with me, who trained to be a sober coach, is Annika Rees. And she's also a Sober Club member. And I thought you might like to hear her story. My guest is Annika Rees, who is a Sober Club member, also about to do some very exciting work of her own. Annika, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Lovely to chat to you. So I've known you for a little while now as a Sober Club member. I think you came to one of our Champneys retreats, which was lovely, the first time I met you. And then more recently, you did our Sober Club coaches course. So I feel that we know each other a little bit. But I thought it'd just be lovely to share your story, you know, with our listeners, and just let us know what happened for you. I mean, we should say first up that you're one of our younger listeners. I mean, you're not 12 or anything, but compared to me, you're young. Just in case anyone's not watching this on video.
I'm 37.
Oh no, I didn't realize you were 37. Wow, you look younger than that.
Oh well, thank you, made my day.
Yeah, you do. But how do I wish I'd done this in my 30s? Oh man, how do I wish. Anyways, let's back up a bit then. Tell us a bit about your background and what happened for you.
Right. So I actually gave up drinking for the first time when I was quite young, when I was 26. And I had got really stuck into the Ladette culture at university and, you know, used to pride myself on the fact that I could keep up with the lads and drink beers and drink them under the table. And after 3 years of working after leaving university, I really was sick of drinking, and I stopped by actually going to the Alan Carr seminar. And then I stopped for a year and a half and literally had the most wonderful experience of giving up drinking. I think my pink cloud lasted a year and a half, and I manifested such wonderful things during that time. I went from feeling pretty down in the dumps, living in a tiny flat in London, to living in Dubai and falling in love and manifesting all these amazing things and being really, really happy. And I would never have believed that I would have gone back to drinking. If you'd have told me at the time, I would have said absolutely no way. But I did. And I think, despite the fact that going back to drinking didn't really bring me any happiness, it brought me a lot of experience and understanding as to how giving up drinking can feel quite differently, depending on how you approach it.
I mean, I'm really fascinated by this because I had a not dissimilar experience in that I was on a Jason Vail juice retreat and read Jason's book, Kick the Drink Easily, which is, you know, sort of pure NLP. So I sometimes sort of joke that I was brainwashed in a good way. I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but sort of brainwashed into stopping drinking, if you like. You know, I was, you know, from a sort of neurological sense, I really had all of that information, and I absolutely knew that it was bad for me and that I didn't need it. And I'm guessing you did too. For me, I think I went back to it because I had never grasped the full picture of just how much better life can be without it. And so when the Wine Witch came along, for me, it was a case of, well, clearly I don't have a problem, and obviously I can moderate. I'd never quite grasped that it was alcohol that was bad, and that, you know, life could be better. But what about you? Because obviously you've analysed it a bit for yourself.
Yeah, the funny thing is I really had grasped all of that stuff, but I was re-brainwashed, shall we say. A lot of people who have not been to Dubai think that if you live there, people don't drink, and things are very different to the UK. And I would actually say that, yeah, okay, things are different to the UK, but people drink a lot more there.
Because of the kind of expat community and socializing.
Yeah, and it's so glamorized. And you go to brunch and there's trays of very expensive champagne, and it's this sophisticated thing that everyone does. And I did get re-brainwashed. Right. And I also had my heart broken and developed an anxiety disorder while I was there. And I did resist drinking quite a lot, but when you have enough people around you saying, you know, you've gone through a really hard time, just have a drink, you know, let your hair down. Eventually, it's crazy how you can re-brainwash yourself and put all the knowledge you have in a box and lock it up.
Yeah. And then I suppose part of your brain would have been saying to you, well, come on, you've had years and years and years of programming that alcohol is the answer to this, the answer to anxiety, the answer to having a good social occasion.
Absolutely. And so I just got pulled back into it. And then when I stopped drinking again, because I got to the point where I remembered, it came back up, and I thought, I know that I'm so much happier when I do drink. I know it's the answer. I know I want to not drink again. But I thought the second time, oh, I'll stop drinking, and it's like waving a magic wand. Everything will be magical, and I'll be skipping around feeling really happy all the time. And this time I didn't, because I hadn't even realized that I had an anxiety disorder. I just thought I was stressed and life was difficult, but I was dealing with severe anxiety and heartbreak. And it was miserable the second time I stopped drinking. And after 10 months, I just thought, stuff it. I'm going to go out with my friends and get drunk again. And then the third time was when I discovered the Sober Club, which was pretty much not quite a year ago to the day, but probably 2 weeks off.
Wow. Yeah. So what felt different then about that approach?
I think the key thing with making any behavior change is identity and how you see yourself. And a big piece of that is feeling a part of something. And I knew the benefits of being sober, but when I joined the sober club and I really, really delved into the sober world, I suddenly felt a part of something really, really exciting that means something and that I believe in. And I know it's going to benefit me, but there's just a whole world of people and experiences that have opened up with it that make it just really exciting.
Yeah. So what was it like for you then that last time? You know, did you have any tips for people in those early stages? I mean, did you have any issues around socializing? Was there any, you know, anything difficult with friends?
I think I was lucky at this point in that my friends in Dubai were quite used to me going through phases of not wanting to drink. They were just like, oh, it's just what she does. It's one of her weird things that she does.
Yeah.
So that was quite good in that it I had a lot less resistance than I did the first time I stopped drinking. And I'd already developed some quite good self-care practices. And I think the difference this time is the level of insight that I've been able to apply and the coaching that I've had since I've stopped drinking has really, really helped me to get to the bottom of the differences between the first magical time when I stopped drinking and the second, and to start to really look at what do I need to heal here.
Yeah.
And that's quite empowering.
Yeah. It's so important, isn't it, to have those foundations laid. So the first time it's almost like you were up there in the building, but you hadn't actually laid the foundations. Yeah, it's really true. What about the anxiety piece then? What's happened with that? Because, you know, that's often, you know, you're right. People do go into this and they decide to stop, or they do stop, and then they get very disappointed when they still have anxiety or they still have other issues. And of course, it isn't a magic wand. And it does mean that we have to look at, once we actually properly stop drinking and start to focus on our optimum health and well-being, we then have to look at what's going on, don't we? So what happened for you with all of that?
I think it's important to reframe how we reframe negative emotions, quote unquote negative emotions, as helpful.
Yeah.
Because your subconscious is really just trying to show you what you need to heal next. So even when when you stop drinking, all the things that you've been ignoring and stuffing under the carpet for years, they're going to come out, and they're uncomfortable for a reason, because it's like your inner fire alarm is going, you need to deal with this. This is a problem. Like, come and clear this up. So when you start seeing it as an opportunity to heal, and the more painful it is, the more you just have to say to yourself, oh, wow, I really need to clean this mess up that I have left for so long and been carrying around on my shoulders. So I've just been approaching it in that sense, as I get to deal with this now. I get to sort this out. And I'm lucky enough that I have got, I've got one of my best friends is a psychotherapist. And I've got a lot of people around me who can kind of support me in picking it apart.
Yeah.
But we can all pick apart our pain. Sometimes it is really, really painful, but it ultimately, the more we can be brave and face it and file it away and let it go, the more we can really, really up level and start to feel fantastic all the time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm really glad you said that, because I think that a lot of people, that's actually one of the reasons why they are fearful of stopping, because part of them knows, okay, so if I stop this, I am going to have to face that hideous stuff, that and the fear of what they're going to have to face makes them procrastinate and put it off for yet another day. And now that becomes a month, that becomes a year. But so what we should add is that, you know, yes, you probably will have to face stuff, but here's the really cool thing. Being sober makes you more brave, and it definitely makes you more resilient.
I think as well, you need to see yourself as, there's more than one part of you, and you've got your inner child and you've got your inner parent. And if you imagine having, you know, if you have got your own child, there's nothing you wouldn't do to make sure they were in the very best place they can be. And when things are scary and you don't want to deal with them, you have to kind of see yourself like that vulnerable child and say, no, I want more for myself than to not deal with that. I want to get rid of it. I want to sort it and heal it. And that helps you with the bravery, I think.
Because yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming back to actually being able to like yourself. you know, it's as you said at the beginning, it's that stepping into that new identity as someone who actually wants to care for herself, as someone who actually feels she's worth it, you know, he or she, which of course when we're drinking it's very difficult to do that. I do find it really fascinating, that sort of cognitive dissonance almost, when, because, you know, all those years that I was allegedly, you know, spiritual and healthy, of course, I didn't really like myself at all. And I wasn't really taking care of myself. It was just sort of, don't they call it spiritual bypassing or something? You know, it was just, yeah. I was doing all the yoga, I was doing all the stuff. But actually, I didn't actually like myself very much at all. I wasn't at all authentic with who I really was. I know something you talk about is the whole, you know, you said you use the word manifestation, and you talk yeah. about how, you know, you believe that we can absolutely manifest what we want, but alcohol blocks that. Tell us more about that thought.
Yes, my key learning from all of my experiences is that alcohol is a huge manifestation block, and I've learned this every time I've had a small gap in drinking and large gaps in drinking. Yeah. Even when I was hugely anxious, things just seem to come through for me. And the reasons that I can see why this is true is because, number one, obviously alcohol lowers your vibrations. Yeah, if you've had totally. A hangover, you've experienced what that feels like. But also it's to do with the healing piece as well, because alcohol allows us to numb and anesthetize that we don't want to look at. But the more we heal and the more whole we become and the more grounded in our self-worth we become, the more we manifest.
Yeah.
You can only manifest things that are at the same vibrational frequency as yourself. So if you want to increase your frequency, you increase your self-worth, and then you bring in amazing things. Now, I've done this accidentally so many times, but now I really understand it. Wow, you're even more powerful. Mm. And this is really what brought me to wanting to be a sober coach, because I want to help. It's not just about getting rid of something, it's the opposite.
Exactly.
It's about stepping into your power and manifesting everything that you want and getting rid of that's standing in your way, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not giving anything up, we are literally only gaining. And that's, I think, one of the things that's been so exciting with the sober club, and you've seen it too, is we see people who are just doing these amazing things, and yeah. they do manifest stuff into their life, don't they? And sometimes they shock themselves at what they've been able to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. It's magical. It's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, lovely. So yeah, tell us a bit about your work then. So you trained as a coach, and then you decided to do the my new course, the sober club coach course. How did you find that?
Oh, it was fantastic. So good. And the content was amazing, but it's also the group and networking with other sober coaches as well was just so nourishing and so interesting. I just did a course yesterday as well with Stephanie Chivers, which was really good.
Great.
That was just a little extra day course. I love learning, and I'll continue to add feathers to my bow throughout my career. But my coaching business, I started my coaching business literally when I came back to the UK in August.
Great.
So yeah, I'm just focusing really on helping women understand the relationship that alcohol has with manifestation, and helping them to design the life that they want and it through sober living.
Yeah, lovely. Well, you're a fabulous poster girl for sobriety and manifestation. It's brilliant. Thank you so much, Annika. It's been fantastic to work with you. I can't wait to see all the magic you create. It's super exciting. So do you want to give us your website where people can find out more about your work?
Yeah. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is @coachingbyAnnika, and Annika is spelled A-N-N-E-K-A. And my website is coachingbyannika.co.uk.
So don't forget, if you're interested in training to be a Sober Club accredited coach, just drop me a message. If you want to join the Sober Club, please join us. It's a fantastic time to join us. We've got so much stuff coming up. I mean, we're always busy, but coming up to Christmas, we're going to be having a session with Joe from Beyond NLP. Joe is a top NLP master trainer, and she's going to be sharing a session with us. And I thought what would be really good to do with Joe, because NLP is so amazing for helping you reframe things and helping you, you know, just really get your mindset sorted. So Joe is going to session for us in the Sober Club called How Not to Hit the Fuck It Button. And I thought that'd just be perfect, because whether it's to do with alcohol or even just eating the wrong foods, because let's face it, you know, some of us just go, oh, to hell with it, and then have the number 30th Jaffa cake or whatever it might be. So I thought that would be a really fun session with Joe. And also coming up in the Sober Club, talking of eating the wrong foods, we've also got a session with Dr. Bumi Abuaba, who is a food addiction coach and has just brought out her first book. So we're going to be talking to Bumi all about how we can beat cravings, again, whether that's for alcohol or food or anything else, you know. After last week's podcast with Cheryl, which I love chatting to Cheryl, author of You Are Enough, there's been a huge amount of conversation going on, particularly within our group, about, you know, how we do see ourselves, about self-esteem. And there's something about Christmas, I think, that kind of raises this for us. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's that we start to compare ourselves with others, or whether we become self-conscious because we're getting kitted out for Christmas parties, if we're doing any of that this year. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be a lot in the air about people really becoming conscious of how they see themselves. And, you know, I did ask the Sober Club members in the week to write down three things that they absolutely love about themselves. And man, was that hard to do for just about everybody, actually. We could all do it for other people, you know, immediately. I can probably think of six people and at least six things each that I love about them, you know, uniquely. And yet it's really hard to do it for ourselves. And yet actually it's a great exercise. And as Cheryl Rickman said in the podcast last week, you know, you are enough. Sometimes we just have to kind of remind ourselves of that. Anyways, a reminder then, the Family Constellations event is the 23rd of Jan. Go to thesoberclub.com/events. We do have our Champneys retreat on January the 8th. Before that, I'm going to be speaking at Simon's event, of course, looking forward to that. On the 2nd of Jan. We've got another Champneys at the end of February, I think it is. That's in Leicestershire. And we'll put in some more dates for Sober by the Sea as well. Don't forget, if you are struggling, you know, just make a connection. The connection is really everything. I spoke to one woman this week, and you know, it was almost as though everything was going downhill for her. She'd had some illness. She was really down. And just everything felt like it was on a downward spiral. But just by having someone to chat to, just by knowing that she had people on her side, by knowing that there are people waiting to hold the vision for her and just love bomb her through it, it just made so much difference. And that can be you. Don't try and do this on your own. You know, it's really tough. Whatever it is you're trying to do, it's a terrible time to be trying to focus on pulling yourself together. Don't do that. Just you know, reach out and ask for help. And I will see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.